Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
One of two things happened with this man who created a massive story in our area with a single tweet. Tommy, he is either an idiot guy who said something stupid about a woman, as men tend to do. Or a secret genius that had a brilliant plan from the beginning.
Fantastic.
But no matter what he is, he has caused a debate to break out about what you can say and not say when you're seated on a jury. You're hanging out in the breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, social media can only get you in trouble. Mm. And it's something that one local man learned this week. The man, who according to Gary Craig of the Democrat and Chronicle, was a juror in a Monroe County drugs case, decided to let his feelings be known about the prosecutor.
So he put this on Facebook or something?
On Twitter.
Oh, okay.
This is the tweet that began this saga. Mm. Quote, "I don't know how much I'm allowed to tweet about the trial I'm sitting on, but at risk of a mistrial, the assistant DA prosecuting is smoking hot."
Quite a compliment for the young lady.
That's a real tweet.
Smoking hot. He's smoking.
So he's from the 1950s, apparently. Mm-hmm. Smoking hot, baby. So the tweet was so funny. Yeah. That it eventually made it to a thread on the Rochester Reddit page.
Okay.
And people on that thread were going back and forth about what the man said. That apparently brought the tweet to the attention of the Monroe County Public Defender's Office. They then brought that to the court.
The Office of Smoking Hot?
They brought it to the court.
All right.
The court was able to identify the man who tweeted out how hot the ADA was, and that juror, the man who tweeted it, was removed from the case. He was dismissed as a juror.
But he didn't really say anything about the case. He didn't say mistrial.
Okay, so put a pin in it.
So he kind of tied it back. Yeah.
We're going to loop back around. So here's what the situation is right now. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. People are looking at this situation one of two ways. Mm. They are arguing, A, this guy was just doing what guys do.
Yeah, googling.
Well, I mean, Tommy, for some reason, not only do men have a tendency to oogle, we also have a tendency out of nowhere to point out any person we think is attractive.
Yeah.
It just happens. Mm. Like, out of nowhere, check out that chick.
Yeah.
Oh, she's so hot.
Well, I don't want you to miss.
She's so hot. And he had to let the world know that she was so hot, smoking hot, in fact.
But he didn't have some buddies he could text?
Nope. Apparently, he's a lonely man who had to tell the world. But that accidentally got him booted from his juror job. Or, Tommy, this man knew what he was doing from the beginning.
Oh.
That he wanted out of jury duty. And because of that, he intentionally set out this tweet to set himself free. 252-WCMF, which one was it?
I didn't even think of that. Damn.
I didn't either until somebody pointed out on the Rochester Reddit thread about this tweet.
But it worked, right? Either way. Yeah,
if he meant to do it, it worked.
Yeah.
If he did mean to do it, you kind of look like an idiot.
Yeah.
Did he do it on purpose, or was that just a bro being a
dude? I didn't. I just thought it was a guy just letting it get away from him.
Okay.
I think a guy that says she's smoking hot probably doesn't. I don't think he would do it
just based
to get out of jury duty. I think he just thought she was smoking hot.
He wanted the world to know.
Yes. Smoking hot.
Yeah.
Wouldn't think that far ahead.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think he was playing the long game here to get out of jury duty, but it worked.
Thoughts, Kimmy?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. This just seems like a spur of the moment. Like, I needed to get it out to let people know because, again, I didn't have buddies that I could text or somebody else to tell. So I had to put it out there to the world.
I would like to point out that in this room, collectively, you two think men are so stupid that you will not even entertain the idea that this was a 3D chess move, that he was just so dumb he had to tell the world.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, like, did they, maybe you don't know. So, like, he went back in. Like, did he have to go back in and then they released him, right?
So, from what I understand, when something like this happens, when you expose something about...
Because you go back the next day to jury duty,
yes,
right?
You are then put in front of the judge dresses you down, and then they set you free.
Wow, so, like, she's sitting there, he's in front of the judge...
The ADA could have been there, it could have also happened in the judge's chambers.
Oh, all right.
But I mean, it's possible the ADA was there. The
what a weird situation.
So did you see what I said about you?
Yeah, pretty hot.
I mean, you know.
And then the judge goes, "She's not that hot." She's not made that statement.
And I would know I'm a judge. This is my final say on the whole thing. Okay, so this whole tweet, this man dismissed from jury duty here in Rochester on a drug case because he tweeted out, and again, I quote, "I don't know how much I'm allowed to tweet about the trial I'm sitting on, but at risk of a mistrial, the assistant DA prosecuting is smoking hot." The problem is this. Now the people in Rochester know if you tweet something like this man tweeted, you can be removed from a jury.
Mm-hmm.
And that could lead to people doing exactly what this guy did.
It is putting it on the radar.
Because there is nothing in this story in the DNC that says the man was held in contempt of court or that he will face any punishment. So outside of the potential embarrassment he is facing, if he has any, nothing negative will happen to this guy. I asked this question, 252-WCMF. What would keep people from doing this every time they get selected to not have to serve?
Nothing. So maybe they got to rethink how we do this.
All right. So then that leads to this.
Social media ain't going away.
Well, bro, wait till you hear the problem social media has presented to juries.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I got some numbers I want to give you.
So I always thought, like, if you're sequestered, like, you can't have any contact. But I just thought, like, regular juries, they go home.
Yeah, they do. That's the
problem. Yeah.
That's the problem. Tommy,
yeah.
Does thinking the assistant district attorney, defense attorney, whoever, if you think they're hot, does that mean you can't be impartial in a trial?
For men, it'd be very difficult, especially if you're of the horn dog age.
Of the horn dog age?
If you're
So wait, it went Ice Age, Stone Age, Bronze Age. Where does horn dog age
fit? Horn dog showed up around the 1950s when big bosoms became popular. And I'm thinking you're in the horn dog radar. Actually, a man is always a horn dog. So whatever that chick says, a lady, lawyer, yeah.
What is?
Like, they'll agree with that, whatever she says. If an attractive
so you're not woman, that dumb. You're not that
if
dumb.
If an attractive woman of power says something and you've already got a half a rail, you're just going to listen to
it. That's not true at all. Look at, may I gesture to the entirety of human history. There have been plenty of attractive women that have been in positions of power that got run out solely because they were women.
But they weren't smoking hot, bro.
Tommy,
they haven't hit that horn dog radar.
Tommy, you cannot tell me you would just go along with what a hot chick says because she's hot.
At a certain age, I would have.
Oh, for God's sake.
Bro, if I was a young guy, 25, 30 years old, and
no, you said horn age was 1950s, which would put those guys in their 70s, 80s, 90s.
The old metal isn't any attractive woman.
That's not true at all either. Again, allow me to gesture at everything that's happened in the last 40 years.
I think attractive women could get away with murder.
Okay.
Murder with the duh.
But here's the other problem, Kenny. What?
Yeah.
Just because someone doesn't say out loud that chick is hot doesn't mean they don't believe that woman isn't hot.
Right, yeah.
It just seems to me a weird thing to kick someone off a jury for, because whether or not you make it known that you think someone is attractive, if the person being attractive can sway you because of the way you look, you're going to be swayed. Like, it seems if that's how this is going to go,
then put it out there. It's best case scenario.
Or the only way you can guarantee someone an impartial jury is to only hire ugly prosecutors and defense attorneys.
You had to have, a fugly legal team.
Four below.
Yeah, but remember we talked about last week.
A scream team, if you will. Sorry.
We talked last week, though, about how there's somebody for everybody, so... Like, it doesn't matter really what you look like. There's going to be somebody interested in you at some point. So, I mean, it's almost impossible to guarantee that somebody isn't going to find that person attractive.
But were they smoking hot?
Because a smoking hot woman will cloud your judgment faster than crystal meth. And I know that's a lot to put on a t-shirt, but you should still try. You know I'm right, man.
Not in a jury setting.
Wait, the jury don't matter?
Bro, this
that,
guy...
That, just because that clipper is sanctioned by the city ain't going to change your opinion.
How are the stems, though?
Those are city sturdy stems, and that's a city clipper. Probably got one of the little decals, City of Rochester.
Outer clipper.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. No, but here's the other problem. I agree with you if you're in a bar setting that a woman can sway you in
a
beautiful woman can sway you. Because in that setting, even if she's way out of her league, there's part of your brain that's like, I got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way,
no,
as a juror, you have any chance, even if that woman is single, the smoking hot ADA, for you to pick that woman up.
No, but you could still be sitting there fantasizing about what's in front of you.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you could be thinking about banging her, you know, in your head.
Okay, if that's the case,
like, you could have the, like, just porn running in your head.
If that's the case, then the court system has to change something right now. Either make saying or believing that a lawyer, prosecutor, someone in the court is hot not disqualifying, or you have to put some kind of punishment behind what this guy allegedly did.
Okay, like a fine or jail or something like that for whatever you do.
Yeah, but it turns out, Tommy,
90 days for finding this woman hot.
Well, no, you just don't say it out loud, stupid.
Yeah. No, but if I get accused.
Stand up. And you have a boner? You're going to jail. That's a boner
court.
You're going to boner jail.
Night boner court.
Well, it's the only time you should have it.
Worst NBC show of all time.
252-WCMF. We're talking about this man in Rochester. He was sitting on a drug trial. By the way, both of the defendants were acquitted.
Man. So now, they walked?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if it's because of this, right? I mean, he's one juror. Mm. But the man was sitting on a jury for a local drug trial. He tweeted out during the trial, quote, "I don't know how much I'm allowed to tweet about the trial I'm sitting on, but at risk of a mistrial, the assistant DA prosecuting is smoking hot." That tweet made it to a thread on Rochester Reddit, had people going back and forth. That brought it to the attention of the Monroe County Public Defender's Office, who brought it to the court. They were able to identify the man who tweeted how hot the ADA was, and that juror was removed from the case. But it turns out that social media, when it comes to juries, is way more of a problem than you could ever imagine.
Oh, yeah.
A recent report from the New York State Bar Association.
What is it?
Ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Found that 46% of jurors, potential jurors, said they would search for a defendant on social media if they were serving on their jury.
It's just too easy. I mean, it's just too easy to go out and find the information.
Yeah, like, it's all out there.
As much as you would try to prevent people from doing that, it's almost like even if you're not looking for it, it could be in front of your face.
Okay, but that means then, walking in the door, one half of juries are not impartial.
Right.
Either way. That's a massive problem. And it's unfixable.
That's
an unfixable problem.
Mm-hmm.
Think about people on Facebook. Like, they want to share every minute of every day, every detail about their lives. They're going to want to put this out there, too. I mean, I've seen it. I feel like I know everybody that's on jury duty and when and where they're on jury, for what they're... Therefore, I just think, like, people just don't when that outlet is right at their fingertips, I think it's so hard for people to just shut up about
something. Look, fine. You're right. It's a human condition, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. But in a social media world where statistically one half of people deciding your fate already have an idea about you based on what you put on your Facebook or Instagram, whatever, there's no way you can get a fair trial.
I think you can.
How?
Because, like, just because somebody has access to this information doesn't mean they're going to go against you.
No, but that's not a fair trial. Even if they side with you, the trial is no longer fair.
I think it is because, I mean, people always had all these judgments and all these prejudice things that they brought into the jury pool from the beginning of time, like how you looked at somebody. They didn't look like you. They weren't of your religion.
Sure.
There's no way you can't bring bias in, and I always think it's always sat there.
No, that's a great point. It's not like there have been decades and decades of cases that we later found out were wrong convictions because of the things you exactly said.
I understand
said.
That, but there's no way you're going to have a perfect system. Because you're bringing human beings in with their emotions and their lives. And to say, like, put all that aside and just be like this robot that has no opinions.
Okay.
I think you got to change it. I would say let it happen. I mean, you're not going to stop it, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
And how could you?
All right, I'm going to ask you one question. One question.
Right.
Because it's easy to have that opinion when you don't think this will happen to you. Let's say you're falsely accused of a crime. Mm-hmm. You, Tommy Mueller, you did not do it. You have been arrested.
I didn't do it.
You didn't do it. And one half of those jurors go back and listen to a whole bunch of stuff you said in this microphone.
Yeah.
You're getting the chair, bro. You're getting the chair. And I bet you, after you get the chair, right before you get the chair, you're not going to say, "Hey, you know what? We don't have a perfect system, but you just have to let it happen." You got the chair for 4 speeding tickets. That's how bad the show is.
Oh, wow. But some people would be satisfied with that. You would be happy with that.
Not if it were
like at the electric chair.
Oh, you getting the chair specifically?
For speeding tickets.
Yes. It's when you speak about stuff like this, you need to put yourself in the chair of the person being prosecuted to fully understand how bad it can go. And you also at some point need to put yourself in the chair of the prosecutor, like, because there are family people, men and women, that have done heinous things that said they didn't do it. And if that juror has access to a Facebook page where you see them hanging out with their children and loving, and there's mom and everything.
Being normal.
That could keep someone who did something terrible from being held accountable. The Charlie Tan case is a perfect example of that. What he was portrayed as leading up to that trial. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
No, but I don't know how else you could do it with the system you set up. I mean, you set the system up how many hundreds of years ago?
Yeah, but they did it in like 10 minutes.
Just the access to information now.
But crap, we're running out of time in your court system.
But everything, you know, life changes. Technology showed up.
No, you're right. You're right. It's easy.
What do you do with it?
You're right. It's easy to sit here and bitch and say the system does not work well, but I don't
then
have a solution.
Then you're North Korea, right? I mean, they never use their court system. Nothing goes to trial there.
Gotcha. Jeez. You didn't need the gun. That's two guns. Now you've been convicted.
Well, I went after his family.
You better hope you never get falsely accused of shooting someone, because now there's audio of you going.
I know.
Yeah, but it's a finger gun.
They can't see that unless you're watching the live stream.
Your mama enjoyed it.
What the hell, man?
Jesus Christ.
Lock him up. It is.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cold as a bitch outside.
Oh, buddy.
Genitals retreating behind your kidneys.
Mm.
Nipples so hard they're joining prison gangs. Because of the chill. Take your time on that one. Because of the chill.
Yeah.
There are little ones that are not going to school today.
Sure.
And that, Tommy, seems to have some people very upset. Because you know, things were different when I was going to school. You're hanging out at the Breaker Ruts, just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. So there are schools this morning that have off because of the cold, the Rochester City School District being the biggest one.
Mm.
And Tommy, there is an entire system that goes into deciding if kids will have the day off of school because of the cold.
Okay.
Now, every district has different guidelines, which you see this
morning. Which is kind of weird, because the temperature is the temperature.
Yeah.
Like, a Henrietta kid and a city kid is still the same kid.
Well, I would imagine every district has some walkers, obviously some more than others, but I can't imagine that there's a school that doesn't have any.
Well, okay, so we'll get into that more.
Yeah.
Because first I want to talk about the different guidelines versus what the Monroe County Department Public of Health recommends.
What are they saying?
Because they have a number, a wind chill, that they recommend closes school.
And this is for all children, all age.
You got it. Would either of you like to take a shot at how cold it has to be wind chill-wise for schools to close according to the Monroe County Department of Health?
I think once you get into the minuses.
Okay.
Right? So, because, I mean, you get frostbite at some point, right?
It is minus 10 today. So,
How long do you normally have to wait for the bus in the morning? 10, 15
it all depends
minutes?
On where you are. I mean, more rural places, it could take longer.
And, oh, country kid.
Yeah. Kimmy, would you like to take a shot at how cold it would have to
be? I remember what we thought it was. As kids, you know, like there's a rumor, they gotta close the school if it's -5 outside. Mm-hmm. It's like something like that.
So yeah, I would go -5 to 10.
Yeah.
According to the Monroe County Department of Health, they recommend schools close due to temperature at -25 degree wind chill.
25?
-25 degree wind chill.
Antarctica?
It has to be. What? What?
That's like one of those ancient Packer games.
So like -22. Fine.
Now, here's the thing. Like I said, districts probably would close at -22.
I would hope.
The Department of Health says a -25 degree wind chill because you can get frostbite on exposed skin in 30 minutes or less is the danger zone.
Does the bus even stay warm at that point?
It's a good question. You got to huddle together for warmth with all the weird kids. Yeah, like if I was like, you know, at that age, you know, I was the kid that everyone was trying to get around because I had so much girth.
Yeah, but you also put out a lot of heat.
Yeah. I was like a small
space heater.
Portable heater, yes. So
that's insane.
That yes, crazy. I could not believe it myself, but that's according to the Monroe County Department of Health. By the way, that wind chill, negative 25-degree wind chill causing frostbite and exposed skin in 30 minutes or less, that's a lesson that some Chiefs fans learned the hard way during their wildcard game last year. Remember, there were fans that had to have pieces of their body removed because they got frostbite watching that game.
Oof.
Yeah, that was... What, was that the coldest game ever?
One of the coldest.
One of. I don't think it was the coldest. Yeah. But I digress.
All right.
It seems the Department of Health does not believe, at least according to their standards,
get out there, kid.
Dangerous enough to keep every kid cold or home because of the cold. But even that number, the negative 25-degree wind chill, has some people upset. Because,
really?
Well, as soon as schools started announcing last night that they will be closing, plenty of people over a certain age had plenty to say on social media that schools should never, ever close because of temperature. And those same people made arguments that kids today are being coddled.
At minus 25.
And right. that when they were kids, they faced much more severe weather and had to get their asses to class, Tommy.
Oh.
Uphill both ways most
yes.
of the time. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Because there are two questions when it comes to that argument. One, do they have a point? And two, is what they remember true? Were snow days, weather days harder to come by back in the day than they are now? And that, is that because they are looking at, as they put it, softer, but now taking care of kids better than they did previously? Because like you lived in Florida, you have no gauge for this.
No, not at all.
You had a hurricane day, but that's just when your hair looked good.
I mean, I feel like there were more snow days even just like 10 years ago just because it felt like we got more snowfall.
That would make sense.
But I also think... totally forgot my point.
All right. Great show, everybody.
No, Ben, why? It was like old guys will tell you like 10 feet of snow, wind chills, minus 50. Like they just make this stuff
Bro,
up.
Bro, it ain't just men. It's men and women last night losing
their
minds.
But they're just making it up.
But women make stuff up too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I also
They'll tell you they love you.
I also feel bad for kids. Because even if they get a snow day, I don't know how many kids are actually disconnected from school completely. Right? Because after COVID, there was like the ability to do a lot of stuff from home.
Okay, so
do they get work still while they're at home on a snow day or weather day?
You can send stuff home, but it is hard. You know, we all assume the snow days would disappear because you could just flip to remote learning, and we're learning that's not the case. It takes days to prepare, maybe weeks, for like a single run of at-home learning.
It just feels like they're never really disconnected completely the way we could.
Okay. No, now she's starting to sound like an old man. It's good today. They're always connected.
No, I feel bad for them.
I will say this.
I'm saying glad I'm not a kid today.
Okay. All right. Look, at the expense of sounding like one of these guys on Facebook, men and women on Facebook, I don't know if it's the truth or me becoming an old man, but it does feel like schools do close easier now than they did when I was a kid.
Right, and they probably should have closed back then.
Oh, you're going to go soft now?
You softy. When it comes to my comfort.
No, we're not talking about your comfort. We're talking about kids' comfort.
I was always like this. I always wanted to be a comfortable kid.
Okay.
But like, let one kid get sick or frostbit with these plans, and everybody's going to have a complete 180.
And they should. No, I agree with you 100%. Like, not everybody, because those same people, you like to argue all the time, we all made it out. We didn't. You just remember the kids that nothing horrible
happened
to.
You don't need all your nose. You can whittle a little bit off and go to
you
school.
You don't need all your nose. By the way,
God gave you two nostrils. You don't need them both.
Andrew reminds us on Instagram, I forgot about this, it's New York State Regents Week, too, those statewide tests that everyone is supposed to take at the same time. These districts that are off, these schools that are off today, we'll have to find a way to redo that. 252-WCMF. I mean, Kimmy, like you said, it does feel like schools close easier today than they were back, at least when I was a kid, because it took a snow emergence. I grew up in Gates. You grew up in Hilton, Greece area. Gates and Greece never closed. They never closed.
Yeah, but don't you feel like you always had at least one a year?
No.
No?
Again, I don't remember if that's real or that's just me being mad.
Yeah, I could be, not remembering it correctly, but I always remember, getting up to check because there was always the possibility, which makes me feel like there every now and then we had a snow day.
Well, I always checked.
Yeah.
But I never got the day. Like, I would tell my mom, as I'm walking the bus, you stay and you keep watching Jenny Ryan, and if Gates comes across that line, you come down here, run here, get me. Uphill both ways.
So you think it closes more often now? I can't. When was the last time we had a ton of school closings, but it took to this point to get there?
I mean, it feels that way. Yesterday.
So there was a ton back in the day when I first started in radio.
Oh, okay.
So that was 93, 94.
That would have been my golden age. Yeah.
Okay, so I can remember every, you had to read out all the names of all the schools.
Yeah.
So on the air, you had to do it every hour.
And that's when everyone in Rochester found out that Tommy doesn't know how to read. Gotse,
Chile,
Central School District.
Central School District.
I saved a lot of kids.
Grisace.
Yes.
So you're saying there were more back in the day?
We did it. You had to do it constantly.
Like there was.
Okay.
And you had to do it like all day. Because, you know, all morning up to the school time, right?
Activities being canceled. Yeah.
Look at you guys getting soft.
But it was soft then if they were closing.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Several schools, including the City of Rochester School District, closed today due to the cold, which is interesting because the Monroe County Department of Health says that schools do not have to close, and each district has guidelines. Yeah. They do not recommend schools close due to cold until it gets to negative 25-degree wind chill.
But that's just based on frostbite.
30 minutes of exposed skin at negative 25 can get frostbite. But there were a lot of people of a certain age arguing last night when the city shut it down. So,
you can let a 6-year-old sit out there and freeze.
Make a man out of you.
Or a woman.
Or a woman out of you. Let's talk to Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, how are you, buddy?
You're talking about your mom yelling at you to watch Jenny Ryan in the morning. Is that where your love came from? Is that where your lust starts way back then?
Right, first of all, it's not lust. It's love. I love that woman deeply, and I've told my wife, if Jenny Ryan one day comes for me, with all due respect, I'm hers. But go on, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
Listen, can we ban the I read on social media? Because other than the guy saying the prosecutor was hot, nobody has anything good to say on social media. You're all just idiots. You really are.
I understand. But, Jeremy, for a job like ours, it is important to take the temperature of what is happening in the community based on what people are saying.
Temperature. I see what you did there. Listen, the Rochester City School District has always had a large number of closings because the number of walkers there are. So, unfortunately, you're basing your statistical bias on that. If you look at the school closings for today, which I am right now, none of the suburban schools are closed. So where are these idiots coming up with, when I was a kid, you know, blah, blah, blah. None of your schools are closed. So what's your reasoning today? I don't understand it. If the city always closes and always have closed, because, you know, let's be fair, lots of walkers and lots of people who cannot afford to have their kids at home because they would have to take off their job, lose money. Your argument is stupid. All you're doing is inventing some scenario that doesn't exist. Your school is not closed today. What are you talking about? You're an idiot.
All right, Jeremy.
Go shove your head in the sand or the snow or hold your breath until you can't anymore. Do something productive, would you please?
All right, but Jeremy, here's the problem. If I do that, Jeremy's gone. If I do what Jeremy recommends, I can't be mad at nobody for no reason. Yeah. And then what do I do with my emotions?
You had to direct that energy somewhere.
Yes, I don't want
to. Why not a school district?
I don't want to start thinking about the mistakes I've made in my life
silently.
So I'm going to be mad at a school district that did not close.
All right.
What are we not getting?
I understand.
Okay, thank you. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You know, Jeremy does bring up a good point. I am surprised that East Rochester is not closed because these districts are circumstantial based on how they'll close. He's right about the city of Rochester. You got a lot of walkers. You got a lot of folks where the kids have nowhere to go. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But East Rochester, if I'm not mistaken, is almost exclusively walkers.
Yeah, because it's so tight.
Exactly.
Small.
Like, I thought they would be the first domino to fall this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got little ones that walk to school. And parents that if they can't, well, you're probably driving them today or all the time.
Oh.
252-WCMF. All right. I want to get a lady in on this.
Oh, yeah. A mom.
As we're talking about school districts closing back in the day versus today, Christy's on CMF. Hey, Christy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
I just want to say, back in the day, I'm 53 now. The snow, we had a lot more snow for walkers, so that's why the schools were closed more than they are now. Now we don't get as much snow, it's more cold.
Okay, so you're arguing the schools were closed more back in the day than they are today?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we got feet, a lot of snow all the time, and if you're a walker, the sidewalks weren't plowed, so there was no way for you to walk.
All right, did you grow up in the city, Christy?
I grew up in Greece.
Okay, gotcha.
And I'm a school bus driver now, too, so... For us, we're all door-to-door, so it's not as – they won't close schools now. okay. when we pick up kids.
Gotcha. Oh, so you drop them off right at their house?
Pretty much, yeah. Door to door for every child.
Right. Sometimes she goes up to their room, wakes them up, brings them out of the bus.
What a sweetheart.
Well, we beep the horn.
Do you really beep the horn? I never got a horn beeping when I was a kid. The bus just took off.
Yes. I always tell my kids when I used to drive for Greece that if you're going to go, leave the door open so I know. If not, I blow by the house.
Okay.
Because then they're not up.
I see. That sounds
more
like
places, yeah. Certain places, I'll beep the horn just waiting. And other times, I don't.
So. All right. Well, Christy, thank you for the call. Keep keeping those kids safe.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. So if it's door to door, the kid ain't standing outside.
Yeah. But we did also read a story based on the school bus driver shortage. Maybe this changed with this new school district. Last year, that kids in Greece were now having to walk longer distances.
So you had a meetup area.
Well, or
they hang at the end of the street or something.
Or they also lengthened the halo around the schools where they were not going to offer a bus to the kids.
Oh.
Those kids can walk. Remember, it was a long length. We were surprised by how long kids in Greece would have to walk.
But that was like a COVID kind of thing?
No, it was the school bus. They didn't have enough drivers.
I mean, post, yes. Where they didn't have drivers.
Yeah. I don't know if that changed. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You know, whether or not you're angry or being reasonable or whatever, right? Like, shouldn't we cheer on kids getting as many snow days as possible? Like, you remember, Kimmy, how great that feeling
was. Excitement of it all, absolutely.
Like, I don't know about you guys. I still feel a little joy when I see the schools scroll across the screen. And, like, when my daughters have a snow day, I mean, it sucks for me personally.
I was going to say, though, if you're a parent, though, it kind of disrupts your whole day, right?
It does, but there is still that, like, moment of, like,
yeah.
You beat the system.
But you also don't want this generation to have it better than you did in your mind.
Why?
We had to do it. You got to do it.
I always hate that argument. Things are easier for you, as society tends to do as time moves forward.
Well, I'm not happy about it.
Put them all back in the meat factories of Chicago in the 1910s. That's what I say.
Hey, at least you had a good job.
252-WCMF.
Some of your fingers.
We'll take one more call again, talking about school districts closing because of the cold. It looks like the Rochester City School District is the big one. There's a couple of smaller schools closing all around, but folks angry that they wouldn't even consider closing schools because of the cold. Craig's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Craig. How are you, buddy?
Doing good.
All right. What do you got?
When I went to school in Rochester, we used to go to school with the snow up to our crotches.
Crotch snow is what they called it.
Back in my day, we had crotch snow.
Man, don't eat that snow.
And here's the thing. The worst part is he had to chew on glass and swallow it while he was walking. That's why his voice sounds like this.
Well, we had to take clothes with us to change at school. But I don't live in Rochester anymore. I live in Orleans County.
Okay.
And out here, we have school. And that's because we have a no student has to walk policy. So if they walk, they choose to walk.
Gotcha.
So the schools don't close up here unless it's really, really bad.
Okay. All right, Craig, let me ask you, how old are you, buddy?
59.
59 years old. On those rare occasions where you live, where you do see that school closing come across or you get the alert or whatever, does it bring you joy or does it bring you anger?
It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I drove school bus for over 17 years here. I used to enjoy the school days being off. But now it doesn't bother me.
All right.
Did you ever get feeling back in your crotch?
It doesn't have any effect now, but
your crotch.
The crotch part, yeah.
Craig has great school bus driver
voice. Oh, he does.
Yeah, Craig.
Like, if Craig yelled at me, I'm sitting in my seat and I'm shutting up.
Yeah, absolutely. Craig, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Up to the crotch.
Don't affect me anymore.
Don't just said waist deep. Like,
no, right to the crotch, baby.
All right, let's take a break.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
On Sunday, the Bills handled business,
and
it has lined them up for the most important game of the last three decades.
Of your lifetime.
6:30 Sunday night against the Chiefs. We now look forward to that game, with one exception.
What's that?
Well, look, I mean, we can't let picks go picked.
I don't think we should be looking in the past.
And unredeemed. Bro, what are you talking about? Your whole
we got to move forward.
We got to look at, to the past to move forward.
Yes, and here's the thing, man. If we stop looking at the past, your career is over. So, we do what we always do.
Yeah, kick me around.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. I love how you say this. Like, you don't actively participate in what happened here. It's not like we like sneak in your house and steal your
picks. But you take joy in it.
Yes, I take extreme joy in it.
And people's pain. Is that what you do?
Your pain, because you're such a smug douche. And that's why we leave no stone unturned. Because we were off yesterday, we do it today. Kimmy?
Yep.
Are we ready to find out his excuse this morning?
I'm ready.
Let's do this thing.
Tommy told it like it is. And now we find out how it was. Excuse post-game Tuesday in the break room on WCMF.
Kimmy, can you give us our first pick from Tommy on Friday on CMF? Over under 145 yards rushing for Derrick Henry.
I am taking the under.
Whoa!
He forgot he picked under.
I think because McDermott in the past, and I know I said this before, but you disagree with me. When he was with Tennessee, he figured that kid out.
They've
slowed him down.
What's weird about Henry is against the Bills. You're right. Normally, McDermott figures people out the second time around. Henry has had monster games, terrible games, monster games against the Bills. He's all over the place.
I understand it, but I also look at Baltimore as being a two-dimensional team. Those two dudes are it. So I'm saying, like, you know, Josh has all these weapons, all these people he can work with. Mm-hmm. I don't see that in Baltimore. I see those two dudes as being the team.
That's the most unique take I've heard all week.
Stick around.
Okay. So to be clear, you are under
145 yards
rushing for Derrick Henry. Yeah. Derrick Henry started out slow Sunday night. It was obvious the Bills' game plan was to stop him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as always happens,
picked back up again.
Second half, he came to life. Derrick Henry carried the ball 16 times. He had a touchdown, and he rushed for 84 yards.
Ooh.
Not only, Kimmy, did the Bills do a great job containing Henry in the first.
Yeah.
They ate up enough clock with that little lead they had in the fourth quarter where the Ravens really couldn't use him on their last two drives.
Yeah, they forced him to throw the ball, sure.
And that might have been the difference in that game.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, because he was heating. I mean, it was looking to... Like, he was getting to the point of, we're not going to stop this guy, so we got to keep scoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're a cold-weather team.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
It's weird because he only ran the ball 16 times. In cold weather, you should be just feeding
but
him.
But he also dropped that huge one in the first, like, he had that ball in his hands with nothing but, there was nobody in front of him. That's a touchdown, and at the end of the game, that kid drops that ball,
going for
the 2 points again. They're not a cold weather team. Like, I didn't see the Bills dropping balls the way they were dropping balls.
No, you're right.
Home field advantage for sure.
And the mistake the Ravens may have made, they practiced indoors with the doors open to simulate. I'm not making
that
up.
The same
also,
thing.
I saw this briefly, but did they think that the Bills' field was heated too? Did I see that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I don't know if that was an official statement from the Ravens or somebody just mentioned that casually.
But every time when they looked over at the quarterback, it's just,
Lamar Jackson.
He looked miserable.
Yeah.
Even when he just looked like I'm freezing my ass up. Josh is like joking around with a big grin on his face. Like they look like I want to get out of here.
Sure, I get you. Here's your fun stat of the day.
What's that?
On Sunday, it was the first time in five games that Derrick Henry did not rush for over 145 yards. It was a very impressive move by the coaching staff.
And they kept it under 30 points, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because they've been scoring like crazy.
You got it. It won you the game. All right, you're 1-0.
Look at that.
You
let's do it.
All right.
Man.
That's
all right.
You're pretty good.
I like this bit.
Right,
it's a good bit.
Yeah, it's a good
this
bit.
Is fun.
Let's get to our second pick from Tommy this morning here on CMF. Over under. 1/2 a touchdown catch for Amari Cooper.
Now, it's going to be super ass cold.
8 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah, and it's just going to go, it's going to tank. So you're going to be in negative wind chills.
Possibly.
It's tough to catch a ball in that kind of weather. But I don't know how Cooper is in the cold.
Played in Cleveland.
I would say the kid's got to show up. I would say he can get a touchdown.
So you're over.
It's one lousy touchdown in a game.
He's had two in like 12 weeks.
Which tells me he's due because everybody eats, right? He's got all these weapons out there.
No,
right?
But everybody eats is
it's
decreasing
his turn to
the
eat.
Odd. Okay.
It's his turn to eat.
So to be clear, I'm trying to be patient.
I'm trying to be patient.
Shut up.
Hard for me.
To be clear, you were over 1/2 a touchdown catch. Okay, great. And I quote,
"Yeah,
he's going to have a day.
He's due.
Kimmy, not an air raid day for the Bills offense.
No.
Cooper especially. Amari Cooper. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kimmy.
Sometimes you kind of forget he's out there.
Well, yeah, because he was only targeted once on a third down. They missed him. Not only did Amari Cooper not have a touchdown catch, he did not have a catch.
What'd they hire him for? They should use the kid.
And that's what's so interesting about this trade. It's the weirdest in Bills
history.
They
went and got this kid.
Yes, the Bills gave up a third-round pick for a guy who statistically has not done anything really for them this year. But
it seems like it's helped.
It has.
Or something's changed.
Look, him being on the field opens up the passing game. So he's doing statistically nothing for you, but him being on the field makes the other players better. So good move?
Well, you'd say if it works, it works.
Working? It's working.
It kind of, maybe? And, like, maybe we are, like, to your stupid point you made a second ago, maybe we are going to reach a point in the AFC Championship game or potentially further where he just goes off and it's like, there it is. That was worth a third-round pick. But that's not what the important part of this bit is.
She already gave me the horn.
No, I know. You're 1-1. Look, you're 500. Right. You can claw out of this, buddy.
That's a lot in this league.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah, this league of you, Ryan, and danger. A Mulet postgame excuse Tuesday because we were off yesterday recapping Tommy's picks from Friday. Let's get to our third pick from Tommy here on CMF. Over under 300 yards passing for Josh Allen.
I mean, don't you think he's got to let it all out?
It's not his choice. It's how they're going to run this offense.
Yeah, but you know,
by the way, we've
seen
Josh have amazing games without throwing 300 yards.
I don't think this is one of those games.
So you think
it's going to be a shootout. Probably, right?
Well, I mean, you could have a shootout with James Cook running.
Josh
could
run it. Yeah.
Huh.
Would you bet against Josh getting 300 yards in a game they have to have?
That is not my choice to make. That is your choice to make.
Let me point out you got to.
We don't want to sway you anyway because we know how this goes on Monday.
Yeah, that's all y'all do is sway.
If you're watching the live stream, he's doing the Thriller dance, by the way.
I think that's just the way his hands are shaped now.
He's shaped like a corpse.
Well, I'm old, man. I got
look,
old
it's
man.
Tommy. Hands don't work. I'm running for your life.
Yeah, I'm going to take 300 for Josh.
I love his real voice, too, becomes the Thriller song. To be clear, you
give
are
it to him.
Over 300 yards passing for Josh Allen.
To be clear, Pat.
Josh Allen, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
16 of 22. 127 yards.
This is insane. But that arm is really rested.
I mean, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
But two things became obvious as that game went on Sunday night. One, the Bills wanted to control the clock with the run game and keep the ball out of the Ravens' hands. Two, they wanted to avoid as much risk as possible by keeping the ball on the ground when they could. And it was frustrating at times, right? If you were a Bills fan watching that game, knowing what this team was capable of, watching them hand it off over and over again. But all three of the Ravens' turnovers came on passing plays. There was the interception by Taylor Rapp. Yeah. The fumble scoop came when Lamar dropped back to pass. And the punch from Bernard that knocked the ball out came as tight end Mark Andrews was turning up the field after making a catch. Obviously, that game could have gone either way at the end. But that Bills win and the way that they just mitigated risk, kept it low, right now looks like a genius chess move. So that was great for them. Not for you, though.
I will take the buzzer.
Okay. 1-2. Mm-hmm. But you got two picks. To get over 500.
All right, let's do it. Come on.
Here we go. Let's get to our
Redeemer.
Fourth pick here from Tommy on CMF. Do the Bills win? And if not, do they keep it within a point?
I think the Bills win.
Okay.
They have to win. Because I think you're squandering this kid's talent if you don't.
Oh, okay.
I do. I think
I understand
you're
that.
Getting peak Josh. You are getting Josh Allen. This may be his greatest season.
Okay, so you have the Bills winning, and then we're good there, right?
Well, no, you asked me about the
points.
Well, no, because
if they win, the points don't matter. Yeah. They're favored. Right. They're dogs by 1.5.
All right,
so we're good. So that's it. We're done.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a – I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Oh, you think it's a close game?
I would think so, right?
Okay, within five? Field goal game.
I would say a touchdown.
You could just say a win without it being a blowout.
He's been really saucy today. Let's get him.
Oh, I'm sauced up.
You have him winning by a touchdown or more, but not over 10. What
an
idiot.
I
just boxed yourself into the hardest pick of all time.
I know, you really did.
Because if they win by more, you lose, and then 10.
I don't see them winning.
If they win by less than a touchdown, you lose, and if they lose, you lose. You lose! Good day, sir! So you have them in a three-point window of 7 to 9 points.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tight game.
Okay.
It was tight.
It was tight.
Super tight.
Yeah. Everything else, completely wrong.
You talked yourself out of your pick.
No, you guys push.
No.
Push.
You literally said, asked a question. Yeah, you said seven. We didn't tell you to say seven.
No, but I know what y'all do.
What do we do?
You undermine me.
What do you think the word undermine
means? Your mouth
means?
Just keeps going and we let it go. Like, it's not like we're you know, goading you into it.
Oh, you goat.
Just real quick, so it doesn't bother me for the
Queen
rest of the day.
Goat.
Nobody asks you for a bonus pick every week. Nobody asks you to elaborate on the score. We simply ask a question, you say yes or no, and then you continue to keep running your mouth.
Like he just could you Google the definition of undermine just so it doesn't bother me for the rest of the day? Like
you're trying to screw me up.
You start feeling yourself, like you start swaying back and forth. And for some reason, as the picks go on, you gain more confidence. Almost like you decide in your head when you pick something, it's automatically right. It's the weirdest psychological thing to watch happen.
Well, you're welcome.
No, I'm not thanking you. It's very strange. Like, I think you might be... There's something wrong with you.
I'm a strange boy.
Like, you are a very strange boy. Kimmy, what's the definition of undermine?
Just screw you up.
Erode the base or foundation.
Oh, that's man, that is y'all. That is so y'all.
Of?
Anything.
It says a rock formation.
Okay, gotcha.
Society.
So you are accusing Kimmy and I of eroding the base and foundation of the belief in your picks. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's get to our final pick here from Tommy on CMF.
Not so fast, Duffy buddy. So I think it comes down to the final drive.
Oh, okay. It did. Oh, man.
It did. The Bills have that final drive. So that's a half a point. And I think Josh scores the winning touchdown, a rushing touchdown. Well, he kind of did score.
Whoa.
Wow, you're really calling your shot. Okay. And you've had this pick all week, because I believe you teased this pick earlier in the week, mm-hmm. saying, I got a whopper of a bonus
I see him, like, pulling a move. Busted play, he runs it in. Kind of like what he did with Kansas City.
I knew, though, that's what he's doing. He's around. Just repeating Kansas
City.
He
almost,
City.
Like, turned around and ran it in backwards.
Okay, so I just want to make
He's going to be the hero of this game.
Right? I want to make sure.
The place is going to go nuts.
The bonus pick is the Bills are down.
Women are going to go into labor.
Bills are down.
Could happen.
Driving at last drive of the game, he runs the ball in.
Rushing touchdown.
To score the game-winning touchdown. Yeah. Okay. And here's the thing. What? Even if Josh had scored on that third and two, mm-hmm. it still wouldn't have counted because the Bills were ahead. It would have just been the icer.
Well, is it an icer game winning?
No, you said the Bills would be down and driving. The Bills were ahead when they were driving.
All right.
No, there's no... All right, I mean, it's
there's some technical and everything.
Well, it wasn't your worst bonus pick.
No, there's been far worse.
Yeah.
But still wrong. 1-4 with the AFC Championship game coming. And look, man. We have had so much experience with this Chiefs team.
Oh, they know each other. Yeah, I mean, they're like best buddies.
You should know everything about the Chiefs.
I know.
I can't wait for Friday. I cannot wait for Friday. Because this will be, we did not do, Tommy tells it like it is, if I'm not mistaken, when the Bills played an AFC Championship game in 2020. Mm. That did not happen. So this will be the most important Tommy tells it like it is on Friday
ever
in the history of the break room.
Wow.
And we'll see if the pressure gets to you.
Who does Taylor Swift bring to the game?
Okay. You saw she brought her divorced parents to the last game?
Well, she had Caitlin Clark in it.
And her also.
Yeah.
It was her divorced parents and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Awkward night all the way around.
For Caitlin especially.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not together anymore.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.